The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts.
This episode of the Podcast of Terror is brought to you by our friends at Statosphere Merch. Use our coupon code TERROR for 15% off your order at statospheremerch.com. Welcome to episode 44 of the Podcast of Terror, a production of Galactic Netcasts. This is a podcast about the scary things, mostly looking at Corey, because that scares me, because he's so beautiful. I'm your host, Matt Stein, and with me, as always, is Corey Alabaster Clam Scott. Corey, how are you?
I am clammy.
Clammy. You should probably baby powder a little bit, that'll cut down on the clamminess. No? Okay.
I thought we were going to talk
about your clamminess a little more. For more on this podcast, including show notes, contact information, subscription links, go to gncast.com/pot. For other shows from Galactic Netcast, go to gncast.com. You're out in Colorado, so you don't get any pot there.
Podcast of Terror is rather spoiler heavy. Today we are going to spoil Zombieland with our fabulous guest, Carrie. And also, Carrie has a mouth like a sailor, so we swear a lot.
Yes.
And Matt has a mouth like a sailboat, so he's covered in semen.
So I take it. Corey ruined the introduction, but tonight we are going to be doing 2009's Zombieland with who I like to refer to as the Queen of Podcasting, Vice President of Blazing Caribou Studios, co-host of Trivia Geeks, The Devil's Advocate, Black Mirror Reflections, Feast on History, which will be coming in July, and Storyboard with Phil Rood, Carrie Sims. Oh, partner. Whoa, she's changing the doc on me while I'm talking here. Partner of Blazing Caribou Studios.
Yes.
Carrie, yes, motherfucking Sims. Carrie, how are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, that actually got flipped around. We were going to do VP for a while, and then we decided to go ahead and partner up and start this stupid, crazy venture we call Blazing Caribou. So, yeah, I'm excited to be here and talk about Zombieland, which I watched today at like noon. And for the third to fourth time, I can't remember, but it's great. So, good to be here.
Some of us have jobs, so we didn't get to watch it until 4:30. But
right, also, some of us aren't partners. I'm just still running around Matt's basement in a gimp mask.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a crazy venture that I'm taking on here. But you know, we're hoping within a couple of years it'll definitely kind of take off really well. And we've got a lot of stuff going on, and I'm part of a lot of things. I got my hands in everywhere, so it's a lot of fun. But basically, it is kind of a full-time job right now, so.
You got a lot of good people over there.
Oh, yeah, lots. Including Mr. Matt Stein. Kind of over there a little bit, hanging out with the MMA podcast. So, yeah. Yeah, we got some good stuff happening.
Yeah, someday we'll actually start releasing them in a normal fashion.
Yes, it'll be fine. We'll work it all out.
It'll be this week. I had a shitty 2 weeks, but that's a different podcast. Before we get into it, I should thank our pal Martin, who sent me Lone Star from Texas. I think I'm the only person not from Texas that loves Lone Star. So thanks, buddy.
Nice.
Yeah, he got me some other stuff, but I didn't feel like taking my shirt off during the podcast because it's real, real boozy. So if you're new to this, the way we're going to do it is we're going to talk about some stories. We're going to have story time with Papa Corey, and then we will get into the movie review of Zombieland. And then we'll all go to bed because we're old and it's late.
I know. It's like, geez, it's already 9:30. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Whose idea was it to start this late? It was mine. For anyone wondering, it was my idea. It's all my fault.
It's okay.
Yeah, we'll live. The first story we have is about M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong's Tales from the Crypt that is actually finally happening. It was always kind of happening. Now it's finally happening. Sounds like TNT, TBS are partnering with something I've never heard of called Wattpad.
Have you never heard of that?
I don't get out much.
Yeah.
Wattpad is not for people who are out. Wattpad is for people who are definitely in. It is a writing community, online storytelling kind of thing. And basically, what's going on is M. Night Shyamalan is bringing his Tales of the Crypt horror programming as a project for Wattpad. They are looking to use Wattpad's writers to possibly have stories adapted for the show. This is something that is going forward. They're going to try to use this for different shows coming up. but Tales from the Crypt is the first one they're doing it for.
Which I think is a really awesome idea, because I frequent the No Sleep subreddit, which is all, I don't know why you giggled, but it's all fan fiction horror stuff. They actually made a podcast out of it, and it's actually, there's some really cool shit out there.
My daughter does, I know she does part of Wattpad, and, you know, she's in a bunch of different stuff, you know, ink shares, all these different types of things, and it's a really cool writing community, so it's always neat to, like, see, like, the fanfics kind of, you know, spinning stories and, you know, cool stuff, so there's so much talent out there. It's really, it's actually kind of a smart way to pull into this, so I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a crowdsourced way of storytelling, which is very interesting. It's just, not a lot is discussed yet about payments, about how they're going to utilize these people. Are they going to have to get SAG cards because they're going to join the Writers Guild? There's a lot of things that we don't know. And
well, Wattpad for right now is not for profit. I know that, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's something you're just going to like, I mean, you start to get into, you know, a movie script type of a thing. It's like, wait a minute. Could be with some money involved, so yeah, I get you.
You want to be careful, because there's always those people who are like, oh, you're going to get great exposure from this. Well, can I eat exposure? Is exposure going to get my car to and from work for me?
Right.
So you want to make sure that if you're doing work, that you're being paid for it. That's always important for any kind of creative endeavor. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Now, Amazon did something a few years ago that they launched called Amazon Worlds, where they were taking people who were writing fan fiction for different things and allowing you to essentially write those stories in certain property worlds that they were doing. So this isn't terribly dissimilar from that. It's just that it sounds like it's potentially these could become scripts for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I wonder if they'll use Wattpad as like a way to find people to write, or if they're going to write it specifically.
It's a springboard, definitely, to find writers. Now that I'm thinking about it, I need new writers for our company, so I'm just going to write that down.
Yeah. Go ahead and move on over there. Yeah, that should be interesting. I'm personally pretty excited for this, since the last two seasons of the first run of Tales from the Crypt was the garbage, where they had like guest directors, so everything kind of sucked real bad.
Yeah, it was people who were coming in that weren't really sticking to the spirit of the show so much as just kind of going with their own agendas and bringing it on there.
Right.
This is like the only thing I remember like from the 80s and 90s is Tales from the Crypt. So, I mean, I hope that it's fun. And like, I have one that I remember like from way back in the day. And I don't remember the storyline, but I just remember like they were on a raft. And they were just like, they couldn't get off this raft. And I remember that one from my childhood. I have no idea. I'll have to look it up and tell you guys later. But it's just, it's like Tales of the Crypt kind of sticks with you after a while.
That actually sounds like it's from Creepshow. Maybe Creepshow 2.
Ooh, it could be.
I don't know.
You know me. I don't do this stuff.
I
just come on and like fill a spot. It's all good.
I actually have like the first 5 seasons on DVD that I bought, watched once, and now they just collect dust.
That's most DVDs these days.
I did purchase a DVD today, which we'll get into later, but it was weird. I felt a little dirty, but I'm okay with it, so we'll move on. Story 2, Corey.
Yeah, the next story comes to us from HordeNewsNetwork.net. That's a lot of netting. They say that The Conjuring 2 has a spinoff coming already for the demonic nun that's in the movie. Now, I haven't seen either Conjuring movies so far, but as I understand it, the first Conjuring had a spinoff with the Annabelle.
Here's a nice doll piece of shit. It was not a good spinoff at all.
And they've got sequels coming out for that, so now this is going to have a spinoff for this character that apparently they weren't even going to include in the movie. She got written in later on. James Wan decided on a new concept rather than the original demonic figure with horns that was being used. So now this character will get a spinoff, and that will probably get its own sequels. So just a lot of money going out from these things. It seems like it keeps building, which is good. I mean, Conjuring 2, when it came out, was the number one movie for the weekend that it hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very successful. It's supposed to be really good. I'm going to see it on Thursday, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, and James Wan has been very busy lately. He, of course, did the Fast and Furious stuff. He is apparently directing, he's redoing the pilot for the new MacGyver series. It already had a pilot. It's already been picked up for series, and now they're going to redo the pilot entirely with him. So I guess way to go.
MacGyver is like a love-hate thing. I'll probably watch it because I enjoy punishing myself. But speaking of The Conjuring 2, I guess we could just roll right into story number 3, where a man apparently died watching The Conjuring 2 in a theater in India.
How did that even happen?
And his body's gone?
Yeah, I can see dying during an Adam Sandler movie. Yeah, so the man dropped dead while watching the new horror movie in an Indian cinema, and then they had his friend try to take his body to the hospital to transport it out of there, and his friend put it on the back of a rickshaw and disappeared. So they can't find the guy who died. They can't find his friend. It just went way crazy.
That sounds a lot of coincidence there.
Yeah, that guy was clearly... Stole the body. Yeah, that guy's clearly said, fuck it, I'm out.
Mm-hmm. But why someone's eating good tonight.
I guess I don't know why you would steal a body.
Good eats.
God's sakes.
Carrie does have that food podcast coming up, so you could talk about cannibalism on it.
Ew. Ooh, maybe I could
already
made
a case for once on here.
See? See? There is a book called Preparing the Human Body for Consumption.
Why do you know that?
Okay, so there's a band called the Black Dahlia Murder, and their first CD. Well, it's short. Their first CD, the intro and the outro had this guy reading parts of that book, and I was trying to figure out what it was, so I just Googled it, and that's how I know that the book exists. Because
now that's like on your IP address, and you know, when the shit happens around your house, in comes the FBI, and they'll be like, it's on your computer.
All the things the FBI knows about Matt anyways, they're not going to be afraid to come in there because of all his dirty socks.
Yeah, they're afraid to come into my house because there's jizz everywhere.
Oh, God.
If you turn a black light on in my house, it glows like the sun.
Speaking of creepy things with Conjuring 2, the incident with the disappearing dead dude follows up another incident where a couple who had just seen the movie went back to their hotel room and a cross suddenly appeared on the wall, and it looked freshly painted because they could see that there was still liquid kind of dripping down the one side of it, but neither of them could figure out where it came from. They were both in the bathroom at the time when it appeared.
I call bullshit.
And then the next day when they were going to leave, it had disappeared.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that.
Well, how about something that's actually got a visual to it?
Okay.
The last part of this is on iHorror.com. We've got a link that will be in the show notes. There is a video of a woman watching Conjuring 2 and getting possessed in the theater. Seemingly getting possessed.
I get the fuck out of here.
I don't believe that shit.
Yeah, right.
I don't even care if it's a video. I don't even care. Unless I'm like sitting next. I don't even think if I'm sitting next to the person, I would believe that. But I don't know. I'm very skeptical of all that stuff. Very, very skeptical.
Well, if you listen to Weird World Weekly, you know that Matt is usually the skeptic on there as well.
Oh, all right, Matt. Cheers to that.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'd call bullshit in a second. I'd be like, bullshit.
So I really wish that like things happened like that and it was real, but part of me knows that it's not. There's generally
like, I don't even believe in hypnotism. Like, no, I don't get that crap either.
There's an episode of Penn and Teller's Bullshit where they talk about hypnotism, and they talk to people who get hypnotized, and they're all kind of like, yeah, it was just fun to like roll around and bark like a dog, so I did it
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I used to watch the hypnotist specials that they had on late night Showtime in the 80s. It was some woman in Vegas who would do these shows and hypnotize people from the audience and do things like take a lighter to their arm and burn their arm hair off and they wouldn't react, and a lot of weird stuff. It was semi-adult, so sometimes people would take off articles of clothing. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things that seeing some of the things that they would do, skeptical, but still maybe just a little bit on the cusp of, But that's really, how would you fake that?
People can fake a lot of stuff.
That is the expert in the room.
I know. I let it go. I just let that one go. Yeah, awkward silence now.
I don't care. It's not my show.
It's just afterglow. Final story is just we like to talk about upcoming cool Kickstarters, and this one is something that I think is kind of cool. They are doing, the people over at Space Goat Play have announced that they will be launching a Kickstarter to fund and create the official Evil Dead 2 board game. It will be created in conjunction with Studio Canal.
Canal doesn't sound right.
Canal anal.
It's taken the whole. It's anal from an 80-year-old man who can't walk straight. That's why he's got a dry mouth. The game will play out as a tile and miniature based survival horror game. Campaign has been already set. Is starting up soon. They are offering a standard and deluxe edition for donors to select from. It will feature at least 8 custom figures and art depicting the terrifying and iconic characters, monsters, and locales from the film. The official Evil Dead 2 board game is the tabletop experience for Evil Dead 2 fans. Support 2 to 6 players. Gameplay will last usually about 60 to 90 minutes.
69.
Sorry. That's what you got for that whole thing. Yes. I got canal and you got 69. It's a good episode.
About sums up our show.
If you can pull yourself away from the YouPorn to check this out, you can find the link on our site at gncast.com/pot. We will have a link of where you can sign up for the newsletter about the game. Also, just as an addition, there is a Buffy the Vampires board game coming out in October. That is not Kickstarter. That'll just be out officially. It'll be about $40.
If you cannot stop the YouPorn, just pause this, beat up that easy one, and come back. We'll still be here.
Yeah.
God, yes.
Beauty of technology, you just pause us. We'll stay right where we're at.
Pound and we'll out. Be right ready for you when you come back.
No sudden movements. We don't want to set you off accidentally.
That's next to come in my life, where I throw my back out, beating off. All right. Good thing my mom doesn't listen to this. Let's go ahead and get
Mine's dead, so we're good.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, it's fine.
I know it's fine. All right. The whole reason that Carrie's here is because of the movie Zombieland. Oh, I shouldn't say that. You're here because we love you.
Yeah. We tried to do Shaun of the Dead, but I was dumb with the time. No, that was my whole problem. I was off an hour. I'm like, you're in Central Time too.
You did do Shaun of the Dead.
We were
trying to do Zombieland, and then we were off on an hour. So Corey and I did something else. So we just rescheduled this.
No, I was supposed to do something different.
No,
you guys did it. You guys did the show.
We did. We picked something else.
No, you picked the same one. It wasn't Shaun. Wait, I did Shaun of the Dead, and then
wait, Corey.
Wait, it was supposed to be something. James, what was I supposed to do? Do you remember? He's not even paying attention. He's playing Overwatch. But I was supposed to do...
Gonna phone a friend.
It was
here.
Another funny one.
All right. We're going to get to the bottom of this real quick.
I can't remember what it was. What was the funny one I was supposed to do? I did Shaun of the Dead with them before.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
See, you guys did it.
Shut up. I was trying to be nice.
That was the one I was supposed to do, but I was really stupid. And I was like, okay, I got to wait because he's going to call at 8:30 his time.
Which is weird because I'm
at the same time.
I'm coming to where you live.
I know.
And I'm like, oh, it's only a 4-hour drive south. Same
right.
time.
I know. Look, it's hard sometimes to remember all that, like everybody's time zone and stuff. So yeah, that's what it was. So it was me. It's my fault.
Put a little note on your calendar that before Matt shows up, hide all of your socks.
Don't worry, I bring my own socks on vacation. I bring one extra pair for special moments.
Mm-hmm.
Doing air quotes because people aren't all watching the video. Special moments are masturbation times.
Anyway. Moments is very giving, but all right.
Well, a moment is a time. It takes like 10 seconds, all right? So it can be a
time
moment.
To die.
Ah, fuck, Corey, you're right. It is Creepshow.
Oh, wow. I call back to...
It, it just pisses me off when I do that kind of stuff.
It happens.
But that, you know, kudos for you for knowing that, because it was just like a small scene in my head and you got it out. You were like, Creepshow. I'm like, okay.
That's
I gotta
go
back and watch all those.
It's no good. Useful information, just bullshit about old movies and TV shows.
Corey is a fountain of knowledge. Don't
like
let his
savant
hair
when it comes
you.
To that stuff. Just yeah. kind of like boom. Yeah,
yeah,
I kind of do
just
that
a fountain.
Not with horror movies, but I'm pretty good with 80s movies, so I can usually figure that out. But yeah, I don't know. This movie was good, though. I always love this movie. I don't know if we're supposed to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, no, we totally are.
That's exactly what we don't do on our show, is talk about the movie that we're reviewing.
Every time.
It's like, what's the point? We got other things to talk about.
Yeah. Have you what'd ever you competed in the Scotland and Highland Games? It just seems like par for the course with certain guests.
She's not drunk enough to be a Matt episode.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, which side of the Brexit are you on? Are you on the British side or are you on the English side? I don't
know. I enter through the Brexit. So,
there you go.
What? Zombieland, 2009.
Yes.
Came out. We had recently had the Dawn of the Dead remake, mm-hmm. that at that point in time was the most successful horror movie, and then this happened and did very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't seen this movie in a really long time, so I was glad that you picked it because
yay,
yeah.
I forgot this is like when I actually liked Jesse Eisenberg. He didn't drive me nuts later, but yeah, I liked him in this.
Well,
yeah, this
sure.
is back when we could still confuse Eisenberg with Michael Cera, and we just assumed this was Scott
right.
Pilgrim versus the undead.
Well, what's funny is I hadn't watched it in a while either, and I had watched it maybe two or three times prior to this and, like, a few years back. So we're talking, you know, this is 7 years ago, so I probably watched it two or three times, like, within the 2009-2010 period. I completely forgot Jesse Eisenberg was in it. I totally thought it was Michael Cera. I was like... Oh, yeah. And I was also, like, I don't know. I was also, like, putting in my head Scott Pilgrim a little bit. So I was like, where's the chick with the purple hair? Like, for a few minutes.
Jesus.
And then I, like, kind of zoned back in on it. I'm like, oh, I remember. Okay. Tallahassee, Columbia, or Columbus, Wichita. I got it. Okay.
It actually has a lot in common, and I think this is pointed out, with another movie that Eisenberg was in around the same time called Adventureland, mm-hmm. which took place in a theme park and had him kind of pursuant of a young lady who was hardened towards the world and only halfway interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
but
I think it's funny how often they put him in movies where he chases girls because looking at him, he is the anti-pussy.
But that's how they played him off when he played Mark Zuckerberg, was that it was just very anti-female, which is not fair to Zuckerberg in real life, who was with his
slang
now
trim.
At the time that was supposed to be happening.
There's a couple of things I don't like him in, but I did like him in this, and I did like him in Now You See Me. I did like him in that movie,
oh.
And I know there's a Now You See Me 2 coming
yeah.
out, so I'm kind of excited for that. And I don't know what the critics say. Like, I just go by what I like, and when I walk away, I'm like, that's a pretty darn good movie. I enjoyed that, you know, so I don't give a shit what everybody
and
else says.
And Woody Harrelson is in the Now You See movies with him mm-hmm. as
right.
well.
I know. Look at how I brought that up all around back. Speaking of Woody Harrelson, I love him in this. Best character ever. This is actually, from what I remember, this is his third top grossing movie that he's had in his career. Do you guys have any idea what the first two are?
Do you know the answer?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm like, because I can Google this if you want. But
no, don't Google. I just guess. I mean,
No Country for Old Men?
Nope.
Can I look up what movies he was in?
I guess. What the fuck is wrong with you? There's like three on the top of your head. I'm
just
going to give it away. This is like an hour show. What the hell's wrong with you?
Natural Born Killers.
Oh, I forgot he was
in that. No, I actually thought that too. I actually was watching this on the little Amazon Prime thing.
Oh, I should have done that.
And what's cool is they give you all this like trivia as you do it. And I was like, ooh, that's interesting. I might use it on the podcast.
Well, A, the first movie that comes to mind when you say, what movie is Woody Harrelson in, is A Scanner Darkly. Because I really love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot he's in all the fucking Hunger Games movies.
Yep,
so,
Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, which kind of is like, really? I don't know. I think Woody Harrelson's a really cool actor. So
I think he's kind of playing the same character he played in Doc Hollywood in this, but that's okay because I really like Doc Hollywood.
Oh, that's true. I do see the similarities in that a little bit, but yeah, I don't know. I like Tallahassee. Twinkies and Tallahassee is always what I remembered.
By the way, actually, Twinkies is the drinking word for this movie.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, with my daughter, it was 2009. She was born in 2000. She was 9 years old. This is the first scary movie that she ever watched with me. So I think it was definitely like probably towards the later part of 2009 or 2010 when I let her watch this movie. But this is like hands down her favorite, like, you know, zombie-like fun movie type of thing. You know, she's just like, this is crazy. She's like, I love this movie. So for everyone, it's a great movie.
It was a fun take on zombies.
Well, you know what's, here's what I like about it. So yes, it's a fun take, but they, like, I don't usually like the blood and the gore and stuff like that. It kind of gets me a little squeamish and stuff. And but because there's this element of humor throughout the whole thing, I get through it, and it's pretty decent. I mean, it's not like, it doesn't just look like movie makeup. I mean, I love the opening sequences and stuff like that where they're, you know, Jesse Eisenberg is just like explaining, you know, his little rules that he has to have for himself. And he just kind of goes over and says, you know, you got to wear your seatbelts, or don't forget to double tap, or those types of things. And it's just, it's funny to me because it's like, as you're seeing him say double tap, they're like blowing this guy's head right off, or where he's like, wear your seatbelt. This lady, this, you know, lady who's like getting chased by these little girls, you know, she's in her car and she's just like, oh my God. She's like freaking out. She forgets to put her seatbelt on, crashes into a car, goes flying in the air, lands on the pavement, just slides in her face, and every bone in her body just goes, and they're like, wear a seatbelt. And to me, I was like, that's holy shit. So I'm like, I can continue watching it. So the whole movie has that element of like, holy crap. But at the same time, it's just, it's funny to me. So, I mean, I love movies like this. Love it.
Yeah, the zombie stuff is not terribly gory, but it doesn't hold back necessarily either. It seems to play a very good balance between being a comedy and still showing you that there's a zombie element to it, and the zombie element is key to it.
All right, so, like, wait. My question is this. Look. Let's pretend this like actually happened, okay? So let's say there's like some post-apocalyptic zombie wasteland stuff happening, whatever. Who do you think as a character you would mostly align with? Like, I personally would probably align myself with the Eisenberg character as
Columbus.
Columbus, that's right. As Columbus, because, I mean, I think Matt knows this, but it's like, you know, I'm like really scheduled, and I'm a timekeeper, and I got to have all my shit written down. If I don't have that shit written down, I like lose my shit. So I'm just curious, like, Corey, what do you think, like, you, who would you align yourself with at this point? Because, like, well, they're all good characters.
Yeah, well, I think Matt himself probably wouldn't make it as Columbus, because at the point in the beginning where Columbus is first being exposed to the undead, and his neighbor comes over and asks for help because she gets attacked by a homeless guy, next morning, he wakes up, and she's a zombie, and she goes chasing after him. And I think Matt would still be like, yeah, but I could hit that.
He's like, well, you know,
it's just an easier hit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's less of it to fight me off. but me, I'm going to be honest with myself. First of all, I don't follow the first rule, which is cardio. So I would be a meal real, real fast.
You'd be like the first guy like that died on the field in the beginning.
I'd be Buck. if anything, I would probably be Little Rock. I don't think I'm quite tough enough to be Wichita, but Little Rock being kind of conniving, still street smart, but needing somebody else to rely on. We'll just
ooh,
go with that.
Good answer.
I thought maybe you were going to align with Little Rock because you've always wanted to be a prepubescent girl.
That is who I am today. Speaking of, I mean, this is how weird this film is last year, shortly after we started the show, Matt and I did a review of the pilot episode of Scream Queens, and Abigail Breslin in that series. Yes, and she is talking about getting Eiffel Towered by these twins that she's dating in the show. It's very fucked up to have that aspect of her in our heads and then going back and watching her when she was 12. She turned 13 during the filming of this movie.
Wow.
Really weird. And then, like, if we went back further and watched Signs or something, it's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Who was she in Scream Queens?
In Scream Queens, she was one of the main
Chanel
girls.
Number
in the
five.
College. Yeah, she was the one who was dating the twins. And that the main one kept calling her fat.
Oh, God. She's over 18, though, so I'd hit it.
And that, again, folks, is what I said about Matt. He's like, well, you know.
You know,
now it's okay.
You got to do tip drills when you got the opportunity.
Is that who you think you would be?
Getting
Matt,
Eiffel Tower,
me?
Matt?
Yeah.
No. I assume I would be Tallahassee, but instead of
Twinkies, I told you.
Oh, I'd be looking for
Funyuns.
In a past life where I didn't fuck up the recording and have to start a part over.
Well, I said in a past life that you would probably be Tallahassee because you wouldn't be looking for Twinkies, but you'd be like, can I just fucking have a beer? That's all I want is a good quality craft beer. That's all I'm looking for. Give me one. And you would just kind of hunt that down until you found it.
How long until all that stuff gets skunked?
Lone Star. Well, a lot of it's better with age. Like, I have a bunch in my basement that's just sitting until it gets better.
Thank God he also feels that way about actresses.
You guys need a boom boom ching thing for your show. I didn't even realize it.
I can do that with my breasts.
Oh, Jesus. This is...
So, not a big cast in this. One of the guys plays a gas station owner who actually, I think, is the one who dies in the bathroom during the opening credits. But we get to see him alive later on. One major cameo, and this cameo got a lot of attention for this movie, and that is...
Bill fucking Murray.
Bill fucking Murray.
Bill motherfucking Murray.
I like when they're reenacting the scene from Ghostbusters, and sexy Emma Stone's just sitting there talking in a Brooklyn accent.
She's like, oh no, can you get it? It's all the way up there. Oh no, what am I going to do?
She's doing Janine in the commercial.
Right.
Which is great. And Bill doesn't even get to play himself, his own character. He's playing Ray in it.
Right.
Because Woody Harrelson, well, Tallahassee wants to play
Bill.
Bill Murray's character. How did you guys feel about that scene?
That I like all the references and things like that to like Bill Murray's career. Even at the end, when they did the little like after all the credits. I don't know if you guys watched through that. But they do a little Caddyshack thing, and he does the gopher kind of a scene. It's really kind of funny. So I mean, I like all the little nods to everything. I even like, I don't know if you caught, but Woody Harrelson, who was in Kingpin, right? Yep. He was just like, oh, Bill Murray, I've seen all your movies, and I love all of them. I think it's really funny because I'm like, well, you're in one of them.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing. So it's like, so I don't know. It's I like them kind of referencing that. But they also had, originally, they had asked a bunch of people, including Patrick Swayze,
Swayze was the first one.
Yeah, to do a thing, and that was before he was diagnosed with his prostate cancer, so they were going to have him in it, but it all turned out to be Bill Murray, and I think it works really well with this film. It's funny, I mean, that's the kind of person you want in a film like this anyway. It kind of, like, breaks up the funny a little bit, blood and guts and scariness a little bit, kind of, adds that, enlightenment of humor. So, I don't know, I think it worked out really well.
See, I kind of don't enjoy that part of it. I mean, I enjoy it because it's funny and because it's Bill Murray, but I think it just, it takes out of the movie, like, all the seriousness of what they're doing, even though it's a comedy thing. It just, it gives it a time period. It takes the timelessness of the movie away, so if you watch it 20 years from now, if there's not a Bill Murray or he's already gone full zombie, it's going to, put a limit on when the movie actually could have taken place, which happens. But I'm never a huge fan of when they insert actors as themselves in the movies. When they did that in Ocean's 12, I kind of fucking hated it. When they make references to the character played by Julia Roberts, that haven't you ever noticed that she looks just like Julia Roberts?
That I did hate. I agree with you. I think they did it poorly. I agree with you. I was pissed. I was
and
like,
it seems
stupid.
Like, this scene was definitely more improv than the rest of the movie too. So the characterizations get a little bit out of line, like Abigail Breslin asking him if he has any regrets in such a way that feels very acted, and he goes, Garfield, maybe?
Garfield.
You know, it's funny because it's Bill Murray, and everybody has a good time with it, but it just seems so weird because we don't get a lot of story in this other than them meeting, going after each other, meeting again, hanging out a little bit, and then going off to the playland.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see that. I mean, I can see where there's like lack of depth, I guess you could say, from his character, but I think that there really shouldn't be, that the characterization should fall on Woody, Jesse, you know, Emma Stone and Abigail more than anything. And like Bill Murray is just kind of just almost like a, I don't know, like a cherry on top. And they made it like that too. I mean, it was just like, you know, Woody Harrelson going to see him, it was like a big fucking deal for him to go see this guy. It was like, you know, this is like my hero kind of a thing. And I think they needed to make it, you know, I mean, I guess they could have used like it could have, they could have gone to see like Bill Murray. It could have been him playing a character of somebody else. And that probably would have worked there too. But I don't know. I enjoy the ragging on themselves a little bit and kind of playing off, you know, like, kind of laughing at themselves a little bit too. So I don't know, I guess it could have worked both ways really.
It's definitely not the worst thing in the world. It just, it kind of takes me out of it just a little bit. And that bothers me in a way. On the other hand, you get Bill Murray in there, you just let Bill Murray be Bill Murray.
Right. And that's probably where it came down to, where he was just like, well, this is what I can do. And, you know, I can add this. And, you know, they probably said, oh, just be yourself or whatever. And he just kind of was, you know, improving probably 90 to 95% of that. So it's just kind of like, oh, let's just do this kind of a thing.
But I mean, it was their plan to have an actor, like you said, be themselves in it. They were originally going to do Swayze. They were going to reenact the scene from Ghost, mm-hmm. where he's helping sculpt the vase and everything. Mm-hmm. That I hope they would have done something with Roadhouse.
Right.
But just in general, I'm back and forth on this because I'm a very pop culture referential person. Mm-hmm. And so I get the idea that that's what we do today, is we keep referencing these things ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then we have books come out that do really well, like Ready Player One, which that's what that whole story is. And then there's going to be a movie about that. Mm-hmm. It's very meta, but I think at a certain point, is meta good storytelling or mm-hmm. is it cheap and easy storytelling? And this felt just right on the cusp of being cheap and easy, but it worked better because of the level of who they got to do it.
Right.
And because it's just sort of like one bump in the middle there, where right after that they go into the fact that we find out about Tallahassee's puppy not being a puppy,
right.
but actually being his kid. And
right.
we get the emotional connection between Columbus and Wichita finally. And so it's nice that that stuff still gets to happen. It's just this weird little thing right before that.
Right. Yeah, I feel where you're coming from. You know, I definitely, you know, I get that too. And like you were saying, does it hold up 20 years from now? You know, I mean, for right now, 7 years later, totally holds up. Like, it totally makes sense. But, you know, one day Bill Murray is going to pass away. Is it going to, you know, make sense to, you know, that genre? So you don't know. But, you know, yeah, I hear you. I'm kind of like, you know, you kind of sway me a little bit to the other side a little bit on that. But I don't know. I think it works okay. I mean, it's nothing to be like, I'm not watching this movie, you know, kind of a thing. So,
yeah.
I venture to guess, I mean, Bill Murray's only 65. But when mm-hmm. when he goes, it's safe to assume that there will probably be a reboot or a remake or a reimagining or a re-something of this movie with a more relevant famous person.
Well, I mean,
isn't Zombieland 2 coming out?
They're still supposedly working on Zombieland 2. Now, they wanted to do it right away, and both Harrelson and Eisenberg were all gung-ho for it at the time, but as time's gone on, they've become less interested in being a part of the sequel, so they're looking at doing something with a whole new cast. There also was a pilot for a TV series that they did for Zombieland that was done through Amazon's pilot series and didn't get picked up. I'd actually given Matt the link to it earlier today because it's interesting, but they recast all the characters, and that's a tough act to follow when you're talking about the people who play these people in the movie and trying to... It doesn't retell the same thing, but it's very obvious that these people weren't as talented as the cast that were in this film.
Right. Yeah, I hate it when people, when they change stuff over. I can't remember. There's an HBO thing with Woody Harrelson and Matt McConaughey, or I never say
True Detective.
His name. True Detective. Loved the first season. They changed everything. I didn't mind them changing the story or anything like that, but they changed all the actors. Now, the actors that came in were good actors, but I hated it. Like, I couldn't even get, like, through the third one. I was like,
well, the second season was a terrible story compared to the first season. Sure. I think the level of actors were fine, and they gave the best performances that they could, but it was a shit show as far as the writing, and that was a problem. I think it was too soon for that writer to try to come up with something at the same level of what the first season was. But at least they were different characters. It wasn't like they recast everybody.
And I give them credit for that, but I was not expecting that. So I was like, really
it's similar
irritated.
To American Horror Story.
Yeah. It's like, if you're going to change it over, I don't know. It's like, as long as you have that one underlying character that you can kind of weed through, you know, from series to series, it's cool. Like, you can kind of like work it and like maybe have like, you know, okay, replace the girl, replace the leading boy or whatever, and have like that one centralized character can kind of just hold it all together, like do something like that. But don't, when you switch the whole cast like that, you're like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm supposed to think. Like, you know, I thought this guy was the Tallahassee kind of a character, and now it's this person, and it's just like, bleh, bleh.
You just like described that. The Tremors sequels.
Oh, I hate those two. Whoa. That's another show, man. We could sit here and talk forever about that shit.
Well, the problem is things become successful. Like, you have a successful movie, and then they want to strike while the iron's hot and make action figures and a TV show and cereal and pillowcases. And when you make a movie with actors of the caliber of these people, not saying that they're like God's gift to acting, they're just very well known. They can't do it forever because they're gonna go do something else. So you have to replace it because they have no choice. The alternative is to just let that money fall to the wayside.
Well, do like they did in Game of Thrones, where they just like start killing people off like one at a time, and just have like a series and say, okay, look, we only want you for like two of these movies, and then we'll kill you off. We promise.
You're gonna fucking die.
Tough because you know you'd say you do something like Lord of the Rings, and by the time you get halfway through the second movie, they've killed half of the cast of the original nine, and then it's like, oh well, I don't really give a shit about Merry and Pippin by themselves. I wanted to see what was going on with Frodo and fucking Strider and all these other people, and now it's like, oh, here's the barkeep, and
right. that's true, but maybe we should just talk about Game of Thrones because that was fun last night, but
I haven't seen it yet, so
I don't watch it.
Oh god, Matt, what's wrong with you? Well, if you like horror, fucking watch Game of Thrones. Jesus Christ, I've never jumped out of so many seats like so many times watching a series in my life, and it's TV.
Carrie's just got tons of chairs sitting in the living room. Just like,
I jump out of all of them.
Like, you're playing musical chairs. I'm like, jumping out of one right in the other and hoping she lands well.
I am. It's crazy. I'm like really skittish too, and I think my boyfriend thinks it's hilarious. But it's like he can literally he's a sidler. I don't know if you guys ever watched Seinfeld, but he's like a sidler. He'll like it's almost like he's wearing like non-squeaky shoes, and it's just all of a sudden he's just like right there in his face. And I don't know what the fuck that is, but it's like I'm sitting there, I'll be like drying my hair, and he's literally staring at me, and he's got the face like, you know, like kind of thing, and I scream all the time, and he thinks it's just so funny. It's because he knows I'm skittish, and I'm just, I don't know. So also, it's hard
a problem
for me.
Because he has his dick out.
Yeah, but I always like this. It's part of why I don't always watch like scary films, because like I won't be able to go to sleep either. So I'm kind of a baby when it comes to that kind of stuff. So these work for me. I can watch these and I can laugh and go to bed and I'm okay. But like The Ring, for example.
That movie scared the shit out of me, and then I went through puberty and it stopped scaring me.
Funny, I'm going to have to do this. The next time I go to the pool, I'll remember. When my daughter gets out of the pool, every time she looks like The Ring. And my daughter, she has cerebral palsy, so she walks kind of different. So she's kind of got this walk, and she comes out. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, you're like the chick from The Ring. I can't handle it. And she thinks it's so funny. I'm like, oh.
It's so weird because it's a sign of the times that when I was a kid and you had long hair, I had really long hair when I was a teenager, and it was like all hanging down my face. The reference was Cousin It from the Addams Family.
Right.
And then one fucking movie just destroyed that entirely. It's like, oh, it went from cute and a little quirky to now you're just going to crowd the TV and fucking mind rape me. Thank you for that.
It would not take her much to do like a costume for Halloween. And she's just like, what is this movie? And I'm like, I don't want you to watch it yet. You're too young. But I'm like, when you do, you'll understand why we're
it's
always
good
like,
to encourage your young daughter to dress up in such a way that makes you want to punch her in the head and run.
Yeah, it's good time.
We already know that you pee in your car. Mm-hmm.
Is that a different episode?
That was a different episode.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And I think episode is the key word.
Oh, boy.
So we do get to a final scene in this where it makes good on the name Zombieland, and they go to an amusement park, which is just phenomenal to watch. Like, it's one of those moments of, if nothing else, somebody said, oh, we should have people being attacked by zombies in what is essentially Cedar Point or whatever. And someone was like, yeah, that sounds fucking awesome. And how do we make that happen?
Well, I thought it was weird how, like, they got there and they didn't seem to think about the fact that there's probably zombies there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why wouldn't you look around before
turning on all the lights and sounds and everything is going to attract them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and, you know, I did like this scene because it kind of did give you that scare factor of like, holy shit, they're being trampled by all these zombies. How the hell are they going to get out of it? Kind of a feeling. Like,
right.
I didn't get it, you know, and I was like, oh, and Tallahassee is so fucking great where he's just like, fuck it, locks himself in like a little, you know, shack, like a little like carnival shack. Locks all the windows and everything like that, gets his guns ready, and just goes a-blasting, and it's just hilarious. Like, that, to me, is really funny, but it's also really scary, because it's, like, literally being caved in upon, and it's just, like, it's like, oh, shit, what the fuck? How is he going to get out of it? You know, I'm, like, I'm looking for, like, tanks and things like that to, like, clear him out of the way or something, but, yeah, it's pretty funny. I like that scene.
But that's the thing about this, too, is that it doesn't really ever give you a sense of any of these characters being in actual peril.
Right.
That moment, he becomes sort of superhuman. He's Bruce Willis in Die Hard at that point in time. He's got it covered. He's not losing any confidence in it. He feels like he's going to make it out, and he doesn't give a shit anyways.
Right.
And then
that's
what
the
happens
whole
to
movie, just like, that's the feeling. I'm like, if you're looking for, you know, a movie that's, you know, that there's not going to be like, you know, these guys living after that or something like that, that's not this movie. I mean, this movie is more like you're cheering for him through the whole thing. You want the love interest to get together. The little girl's cool. Woody Harrelson kicks ass. I mean, it's just, it's like everything you want, like that feel good kind of movie. Plus, P.S., it's a zombie movie. So if you're looking for that M. Night Shyamalan ding dong that you guys are saying, like, twist, this isn't the movie. That's,
no,
there's no twist.
It's not going to happen. There's no twist. It's just, it's real blatant throughout, but it's a fun watch. It's definitely, it's a fun watch. You kind of like, I laughed out loud like 3 or 4 times, you know, type of a thing. And it's just, it's a fun watch through the whole thing. So it's enjoyable. But yeah, there's not like, I don't know, there's not really like a hell of a lot of surprises to it, you know?
They utilize the zombies and the attacks and the gore and the scariness all in the scenes dealing with other people. And then even in some of those, when they're talking about the zombie kill of the week and they talk about other characters, it's like, oh, well, we get to see them succeed and beat the zombies too. So you kind of wonder why there are no other people around. If it seems like so many people kind of got to a point where they were handling it.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I got to get on the bandwagon of like seeing one of those movies that, that do kind of make me jump a little bit, because it's been a real long time, but we'll see. We'll see if I can do it. I was telling Matt, what was the one I said, Teeth?
The possibility. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, maybe that could be the next one when I come on. I don't know. We'll see.
When we were trying to pick a new movie, she was trying to find every movie that involved a murdering vagina. Which, uncomfortably, there's more than one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you came up with a few besides
Oh,
Teeth.
Oh, that's right, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I drink too much. I think I have blackouts. I don't even remember anymore, but it's all good.
I gotta look up the teeth film now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, speaking of murdering vaginas, so what do you guys think? What do you want to do for
this? You can't segue from that. You can't just like say, speaking of.
Speaking of murdering vagina, yeah, speaking of scoring, what do you score? What do you rank this?
Which rank are we doing? Rewatchability?
Rewatchability first, 0 through 5.
Well, I have seen this, I think, 4 or 5 times now, and each time I have more and more fun. So, I mean, for me, it's a 5 on rewatchability.
Yeah, I'll go with a 5 too. I mean, I haven't seen it in a really long time.
Ask me again in 10 years, because like you said, I'm curious to see if it holds up, like, you know, the 20-year mark type of a thing. Ask me again, but like for right now, I think it holds up. And rewatchable, 5 out of 5. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to go 3. I actually probably would have thought 2 before I rewatched it, because I saw it in the theater. I liked the movie, but it wasn't anything that I was like, oh, I'm going to go watch it again. Mm-hmm. And I laughed at parts that I was like, oh, yeah, that is funny. And I enjoyed it. It just, again, it's not going to go to the top of my list of rewatches over and over again.
Sure.
But I think it's a perfectly good film to see every once in a while.
Sure.
So, story.
2. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It's not like this great, you know, written Shakespearean thing, but I mean, most like, you know, scary type. I think anything that involves zombies, I mean, like, honest to God, like, can you really get higher than a 2? It kind of reminds me of like a Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer type of a thing, you know, where... It's like you're going to watch it, but you're not going to believe the storyline, really, you know? So I'm going to bounce like 2.5, 3 kind of a thing. So, like around there.
Yeah. 2.5 maybe. I don't know. Yeah. It's a fun, feel-good story, but it's nothing that we haven't seen before.
Right.
I mean, I'll actually go 3 on this as well, because if nothing else, the characters are enjoyable.
Right.
And when they introduce Wichita and Little Rock, it does kind of has it breaks up the monotony of just Tallahassee and Columbus being on their own, and they keep fucking with them. And I think that's fun. And I mean, it's not unusual for me to like Jesse Eisenberg and things. I have seen him in several things that I've enjoyed him in. I really liked Adventureland as well. But I do like the way his character thinks, and I like the list, and I like the fact that he is kind of like a simple, good-hearted, but been a shut-in kind of guy, and the way that he and Tallahassee play off of each other is really good.
Yeah.
The moment where Tallahassee's like giving him shit, and he turns around, and Columbus sprays him in the back of the head with the cologne,
yeah.
And Harrelson turns around, he's like, you know, I have... pummeled people for way less than that. He's like,
right.
I'm going to give you a 60%, and he just punches him hard.
Right.
And then they just decide to break the store to shit. I just think that there's moments in this that it makes a good deal of sense of, like, this is what you'd be. If there were no rules,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you live, and how do you make that work, and how do you find people and connect to them in a place where you're afraid that they're just going to disappear when you've already lost everything else? So I think the story is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And then scariness.
It's not very scary. And this is coming from someone that gets scared, you know, with her boyfriend staring at her from the bathroom. It was probably like Probably along the same lines, like two, just because there was a couple of scenes there that were just kind of like, can we say like scary gross? Because it's more like scary gross. It's just like gross stuff happening, you know, like there's the scene where the zombie's eating, you know, the other zombie, but they turn it into humor, so it kind of loses scariness for me. Every time somebody turns stuff like that into humor, I stop looking at it as gross, and it takes me out of that scary element. It puts me into like
you're just squeamish.
Yeah, exactly. It's just more like, oh, that's kind of gross. And they're just kind of like talking about it. And he's just like, how does that make you feel watching that? You know, Tallahassee's just like hungry. You know, it's like, what? So you kind of like, there's little scenes like that. And like I said in the beginning where, you know, the chick is like being thrown from the car. I mean, that is gross. But it's like, at the same time, you had all these little kids zombies chasing her and all these princess crowns and all these, like, you know, Disney like gowns and things like that. So it's just kind of like, okay, you know, so I don't know, scare factor. I mean, I'm going to say maybe one or two possibly, but gross factor, like a three. I added a new category. This whole show is changing now. They're like, gross factor. Don't even think about it.
I'm too fucking tired to wrap my mind around that.
Right, it's all right.
I don't know. It wasn't scary at all. I'm also not a pussy, so zero.
I'll give it a two for two exact moments. One is the gas station owner getting attacked underneath the stall in the bathroom. I have a phobia of public restrooms anyways.
Yeah.
So that, like, that gives me a nice DVD.
Yeah, it's like, ugh, you don't want that happening. Yeah, that's, I give you that.
And then I wish they would have utilized him more, because it really was just kind of like a moment of, oh, there it is, and then it's gone. But the zombie clown, fuck you people. Fuck you people for making a zombie clown.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy. Yeah, because they did only use it for a couple of, like, it was not very long, 30 seconds maybe. But yeah, that was probably the scariest thing, the whole thing. It was gross, his teeth, everything. It was very, what was that movie with the clown? He was a killer clown. What was that movie?
We just reviewed Clown not too long ago.
Oh, she's singing it.
Really sit in the pot shot, but you're thinking of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good old yep. It. Yeah, I think that about wraps it up, huh, Cordy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Works for me.
Cool. You can contact us by leaving us a voicemail at 805-328-3966. You can email us at pot@gncast.com or by leaving us a message on the website. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at podcastatator, and also subscribe to this podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or any of your favorite podcatchers. Leave us some feedback. We don't have enough. It makes me sad. Sometimes I go check. It's not there. I shed a single tear and then eat until I can't feel feelings.
The fact that Mac goes and actually chooses to open iTunes for any goddamn reason is a tribute to how much he loves you people and wants to know that you're listening and giving us reviews. So you don't even have to go to iTunes. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to Google Play. You can just email us. Emailing us is probably easier. You don't have to deal with anybody's bullshit.
Yeah, but if you email us, yes, we love the emails, but it doesn't show it's not a public display of affection.
It's not a public display of affection. Sometimes that's okay, because, you know, if you're wearing socks, you're going to be walking around like they're galoshes.
What?
Never mind. All subscription links can be found at gncast.com/subscribe. And finally, you can join our Facebook group. Look us up under GalacticNetCast on Facebook. That's what we do things under.
Oh, Carrie, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me a couple of places. Best place to find me is look us up on blazingcariboustudios.com. On there you can catch all of our shows and upcoming shows. Also hit us up on Patreon at Blazing Caribou Studios. You can follow us on Blazing Caribou Studios on Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff. And you can follow me personally at Blinken Park on Twitter, and that's BLINK3N Park at Twitter. So, and Facebook and all that crap. We're everywhere.
Yep,
so yeah.
Yep, hooray. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at MattTheLifeguard. Corey.
I am at Don't Ask Comics, and you can find my comics at donascomics.com.
tits. Carrie, thank you again. It was fun to finally get you on the show. We will do this again for an unprecedented third time. Awesome. But thank you again for listening to another episode of the podcast here, and we will talk to you guys next time.
Next week on the podcast of terror.
Next week we're going to be talking Slumber Party Massacre 2. This is actually the movie that I referenced earlier that I actually had to purchase because it is not streaming anywhere on the internet. We're going to have a special guest, the Homicidal Homemaker YouTube channel. She cooks all sorts of delicious treats. I guess bakes them. Trying to get her to send Corey and I some treats to satisfy my sweet tooth. So I'm really looking forward to that. So thank you very much again, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Stay scary, everybody.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the podcast here. You can help Galactic Netcast pay for our web and audio hosting by supporting us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts and pledge as little as $1 a month.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.